Well, good morning again, and a very warm welcome indeed to Christchurch. Loads of other people will be joining us over the next few minutes. Can I invite those of you who are ready to do so to stand with me? And we will make a start. It's a particular pleasure to welcome you if you are visiting us today. We've got a very special gathering lined up. We've got two people, Dennis and Steph, who are going to be affirming their faith as they're immersed in water. And we're looking forward very much to that. And we're calling this Harvest Festival, which you may think, well, where did the rest of the summer go? We're calling it Harvest Festival because at the end of this year of growth, we're harvesting some of the amazing stories of what God has been doing among members of the church family. Some of them we'll read out, and some of them we're actually going to have those people speaking about them. Let me just begin with a couple. The year of growth, quite a big year for me. I came to faith. Thank you for seeking me out, Lord. This year, God has spoken to me about what he is responsible for and what I am responsible for in my growth. So we've got loads more of those to come. We're going to begin, as we always do, as we prepare to welcome others into our midst, with lifting our voices in sung worship. Let me briefly pray for us, and then Chris and the band will lead us on. Father, your word tells us that your mercy is renewed every morning. Thank you that in this place, and as we follow you, there is nothing stale, but everything from you is fresh. And we pray for each person here and all those who will be here, that each one will receive that sense of your fresh presence, your fresh grace, and your overwhelming love. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for those words that you are faithful, you are good, you are strong, you are with us. May we be ever more fully aware of that as we meet together this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please take a seat. I always love seeing our children at the front with their banners and flags. I tell you, at this time of the year, it's great sitting down here because you get a lovely cooling breeze. And it seemed appropriate this morning. My cooling breeze was delivered by Autumn. So thank you, Autumn, for waving your flag. Stand up and give everybody a wave. Let's wave to Autumn. Hey. Wonderful. Again, if you've arrived since we began, a very warm welcome. If you don't know me, my name is Paul. I'm the vicar here. And various members of the team are going to be taking part during our gathering. Neil, our curate, is going to be helping with the baptisms. Chris is leading us in our worship along with the musicians and singers. And there's been quite a team because at the end of the gathering we want to share pastries and what have you together. So please do stay around if you can. And if you are a guest here, maybe for one of the people being immersed a bit later, or you found your way here, we just want you to be totally at home. All churches do things differently, and it's quite okay just to watch if you don't want to do what others are doing. So please feel free, be totally relaxed, and enjoy your time with us this morning. Is anybody brave enough just to wave and say they're here for the first or the second time today, or the third time? Give us a wave, and let's the rest of us welcome those who are new among us. It's so good to have you here. And somebody who's not new, but we've not seen for a while, I see Kathy Brody in the house. Kathy, stand up. Stand up, Kathy. So I guess many of you may not know Kathy. When I arrived as vicar here 8 years ago, Kathy headed up the pastoral ministries of the church. And I just want to say in front of everybody, Kathy, I just remember how brilliant you were one-on-one with people who really needed the time and the love that you gave. And I think only heaven really knows the impact of some of your work on some of the individuals, some of whom will be here and some of whom won't. So it's delightful to have you back. Kathy is now working up in Scotland. She's an ordained minister in the Church of Scotland. There's a thing. It's almost worth another round of applause, but we'll, yeah, well, there we go. Let's turn our eyes to the screens. We'll watch our church family news.
Hey, we're back.
Welcome to Church Family News. It's definitely summer. I have cut my hair. Mark has planted his precious bonsai trees.
It's very exciting.
It's definitely here. Don't forget to pick up a summer term card from the back of church. They're these lovely bright yellow leaflets. It's full of all the information around our teaching series over summer. At the 10 and the 5, we're going to be following the story of Joseph. And it's also got a load of other information around all the activities happening at Christchurch across the summer months, including a whole bit of information around the Spire coffee shop and what's going on there over July, August and September.
That's right. It is very busy at the Spire coffee shop. We have a toddler's group starting every Monday and Thursday from 10:30 a.m. Hannah's Craft Corner is going to keep cracking the whole way through the summer at 3 p.m. on a Monday. And we have a family-friendly Friday film club every Friday with a film starting at 2 p.m. So everything's free. We would love you to come and get involved, but we would really appreciate it if parents get a coffee when you join us. If you'd like to find out what's generally happening with the Spire, then why not follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Spire Coffee House.
Yeah, I already follow them. They're amazing. If you are new at Christchurch, or if you've been coming for the past 6 months and you haven't yet had a chance to get to know our vicar, Paul, and his wife, Jackie, they're going to be starting their next newcomers home group on the 5th of September 2018. We're giving you a bit of forewarning so that you can sign up at the info hub or on the website. It's just a great chance to get to know the leadership of the church a bit more and also just find out about what Christchurch is all about. It'll be running weekly on Wednesdays from 7:30 at their home in Clifton. If you're interested, then do sign up for that. That is everything. Don't forget to pick up one of the summer term cards.
That's it. Have an amazing summer.
Bye.
Thanks, Mark and Julia, as always. This year has been, in our teaching program, what we've called a year of growth. And we're going to be hearing a great deal more about that from members of the church family as we go forward. But I want to just say a couple of things that are going to happen towards the end of our gathering. Firstly, our children are going to be in for a little bit longer because we want them to be able to witness what happens at the front in just a few moments' time. But also, they'll be rejoining us at the back. Parents will be collecting them and bringing them back up here. Parents, please don't, when you've picked your kids up this morning, just go home because we want to get back together. We're going to build a cairn. You'll be given a stone, you'll be given instructions of what to do, and it's just going to be a physical reminder of the different things that God has done in our lives over this past year. Not to say that we've arrived, but to say that we're grateful to God for his assistance and his love and care on our journey. So we're going to build a cairn, and when we've done that, I'm going to try and take a photo of us all gathered around the cairn and the baptistry, but we'll say a little bit more about that later. Speaking of photos, you may remember back at Easter, we gave our children sunflower seeds to see if they could grow sunflowers, and we had some amazing, I think we're going to be ready for the photos, Jez. This is the first one. This is Keturah with those two sunflowers, both taller than her. Where's Keturah? Keturah's somewhere behind. Anyway, Keturah's, yes. Are you standing up, Keturah? You're not, but you might, but you're not going to. That's fine. And then, of course, we had a winner in various categories. And because little Dominic won the children's category, his dad got the first prize. There we go. So that's Cameron taking one for the family, I think we call that. But that was wonderful. Has anybody celebrated a birthday in the past week? Anna and Sol are ready with chocolates and hats. Anybody standing up to say they've had a birthday? We've reached that week where nobody... Oh, sorry, we've got one here. Sharon and Mark, sorry. Two parsons, that's very appropriate. Fantastic. So oh gosh, who are we going to give the hat to? Your choice, Sol. Let's sing happy birthday to Sharon and to Mark. Happy birthday to you. We're so glad God made you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday Just in case anybody doesn't know, Mark is our operations manager. He's on sound this morning, and Sharon is one of our worship leaders, and together they lead one of our small communities. So if you don't yet know them, do go and say happy birthday to them at the end. I'm going to hand over now. We want to have hear some testimonies from our children and our young people. So Ruthie, who is our kids pastor here at Christchurch, Elliot and Sophie, who are our youth pastors, are going to come and introduce some of the things that's been happening. Yeah, you're going first. Yep, absolutely.
Okay, I need all the children, please, to come out at the front. And don't worry, I'm not going to make you do anything embarrassing. So if you can come and help me. And then any kids team leaders, if you can come and help me hold these displays so we can see part of what the children have been doing. There are three, so we need to spread them out. Brilliant. So if you're in climbers and you're aged 4 or 5, you might want to come and, can we spread out a bit? You might want to come and stand around this display. Okay. Is there somebody? Can you hold that one? Thank you. All right. And which one have you got, Charlotte? Whose is that one? That is climbers age 6 and 7. So you want to come and stand around this one that Charlotte has. So the smallest ones here. And then explorers. So over to where Morag is. You might have to hold that up. So we have a few children who've suddenly become shy this morning. I did invite them to share, and I don't know if in a minute they will, but very briefly, at the beginning of this term, we tried to align what we were doing downstairs a little bit with what you were learning and sharing upstairs. So we started off the term by learning that it's by abiding in Christ that we will bear fruit for him. So our first week was learning what it means to trust in Jesus. So that was a bit of a refresher for them. And then part of that was, Maura, can you hold yours up a little bit? So around the edge of this, the older children especially were taking pieces of paper which said, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then they had to draw or write where they wanted to see God's kingdom come. So it might be in gymnastics or football or the playground or family life or whatever. So that's that. And the rest of the term, we looked at a couple of the fruits of the Spirit each week and delved into that. We had a Bible story to go with it, and just to see what fruits the children were already showing in their life. And then they take with them one of the fruits home to work on with the help of the Holy Spirit. So if they're impatient or needed self-control or whatever it was, they would take that in the week, intentionally try and work on it, colour it in, bring it back. Didn't all remember to bring that back. So that's sort of more or less what this is about. You'll be able to look at these afterwards. But I wonder if anybody would like to share from one of their fruits. Or a parent. I know the kids have got very shy this morning. Or a parent. Who'd like to go first? So Emma, do you want to stand forward and hold yours up? I'm going to get Mummy to speak the words for you.
So Emma, if you can see, has got one that says love. And what she thought of when she coloured that in was when her sister was upset, she went and found her favourite toy to comfort her and show love.
Oh, isn't that lovely? A round of applause for Emma. Well done. Thank you. Okay, who else is going to speak for their child? Jen? So, Samuel and Jen.
Yes, yeah, so Samuel took the strawberry for love, and he has said about how he likes showing love to his brother. And sometimes that needs a little bit of extra patience because his brother is quite rough with him, but Samuel's very good at being showing love.
Thank you very much. Round of applause for Samuel. Anybody else? One more. Sean. He's got three girls.
So, Lexi's is that she loves everybody. And so Lexi would like to say that she thinks everybody is special and she likes it when everyone has got someone.
Thank you very much. So that's just three examples. There's loads more here. So do, over coffee and cake and stuff afterwards, do go and have a look at the displays. I don't know where we're going to put them. Where should we put them, Paul?
I don't know. We'll make it up as we go along. That's what okay. We normally do. So children and helpers and parents, do please feel free to stay here so that you can see what happens in the pool. We might need to make a little bit of a break just where Morag is. But I'm going to hand over to Sophie, who's going to grab the microphone from Ruthie. And Elliot is here. Good. I could only see Sophie. This is Sophie and Elliot, our youth pastors. And they're going to just introduce some video testimony from our young people. So kids, do stay around at the front.
Cool. Hello, guys. I'm Sophie. This is my husband, Elliot, and together we are the youth pastors here at Christchurch. God has done so many amazing things this year. We've just been blown away. We've seen people healed. We've seen people come to faith for the first time. We've seen people hear God's voice. We've seen people be filled with the Holy Spirit. We've seen people see visions. It's just been incredible. But we have a little video of you of some of the things that God has been doing in the young people's lives. So we want to show that to you now. Say thank you.
Amazing. Dennis is one of those who's going to be immersed a bit later. If you want to get him to tell you that extraordinary story of the Bible, it really is quite remarkable. Do feel free. And if anything that Sophie and Elliot were talking about in terms of some of the things the young people have experienced, if you're unfamiliar with that, please do feel free to catch them at the end and ask them. And we're going back to the children. One of the four-year-olds wants to say something.
This is quite important, so just listen up. Okay.
Just to say that James and I have managed to read the whole of our toddler Bible. So we did the New Testament between Christmas and Easter, and then we read the whole of the Old. So we are very proud of ourselves. I think that's my Bible.
Thank you. That's brilliant. Well done, James. Fantastic. Thank you.
Well done. And I meant to say at the end of the Youth Testament is Eat Your Heart Out, Bob Dylan. Anybody remember that amazing thing Bob Dylan did with the cards, the lyrics? Oh, come on, people. Bob Dylan. Goodness sake.
Then we'll share the same.
You'll also have noticed a certain brainwashing of a child by a Chelsea supporting dad. Ministry will be available at the back after the gathering is over. Wonderful. So we're now going to, in a few moments, just invite Dennis and Steph to come forward. We're going to hear slightly longer testimonies from them, which will be on the screen. But I just want to set the scene for what's about to happen. From the earliest days of the Christian church in particular, people have used this method of making a public declaration of what they believe. Just like some of you children sitting around me at the front are discovering just how much God loves you, these two people have found that and have got to a stage in life where they want to do this to show the world what they now believe. And some people have already been baptized when they were very, very young. And Dennis was baptized, a real proper Eastern Orthodox baptism. And so Dennis is going to reaffirm his vows. He's going to be lowered into the water once again, the waters of baptism, to remind him of the promises that were made on his behalf. He's now going to make them his own. And Steph, who has not been baptized, is going to be baptized for the first time here today. And water for the Christian church stands as a symbol of cleansing. But it also stands, and this sounds a bit serious, but it's actually great news, it stands as a symbol of the grave that Jesus went into when he died on the cross to take away everybody's sins, everybody's guilt, everybody's sense of shame. Jesus dealt with it all, washed it away like stains from a cloth. And as we're baptized, St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans that as we go down into the water, we are symbolizing our willingness to die with Jesus, and then we rise to an entirely new life. And that's what Dennis and Steph are going to share with us in their testimony. So we're going to have some words of liturgy on the screen, and I'm going to begin and then hand over to Neil, who's going to lead us onwards. So if we can have the first slide, which is not what I was expecting. So sorry. I was expecting something that begins, "Will you by your prayers and witness?" They were excellent words. I'm very happy to read them as well, but fantastic. So this is a question for all of us as a church family, because Steph and Dennis are making their declarations into the worldwide Christian church, and we are representing. So here are the words. Will you please respond throughout this with the words in white? So will you, by your prayers and witness, help Steph and Dennis? I'm being kept on my toes this morning. When my son-in-law, Andrew, pointed at the screens, I just thought, like usually, he was telling me to get a move on, that the words were already up. He was actually trying to alert me to the trap waiting. Okay, let's begin again. So let's do what the computers do when you tell it. Every time you see Rachel, if it appears again, it's Steph. Every time you see Alistair or any other boy's name that isn't Dennis, you say Dennis, okay? Right, we're good. It's going to be great. Will you, by your prayers and witness, help Steph and Dennis to grow into the full stature of Jesus Christ? I don't think I've ever been so pleased to hand over to the curate.
Brilliant. We're going to get Steph and Dennis up. Come and join me, Steph and Dennis. Let's welcome them up on. Fantastic. So the first bit, we all get to say it again together. So, Steph and Dennis, you must now declare together with your church family the Christian faith to which you are making a public allegiance and in which you will grow in by the grace of God. So let's all say together, we believe in God the Father, who created and sustained all things. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, who lived as a man, who died to take away our sins, and whom God raised from the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, who has been sent to teach us, comfort us, and lead us close to God. Amen. Fantastic. So this bit is just you two. So Steph and Dennis, I now invite you to affirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and your rejection of all that is evil. Do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God?
I reject them.
I reject them.
Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil?
I renounce them.
Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbor?
I repent of them.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ as Savior?
I turn to Christ.
Do you submit to Jesus Christ as Lord?
I submit to Christ.
Do you come to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life?
I come to Christ.
So baptism is the sign and seal of a new birth spoken of by Jesus Christ. St. Paul writes to the Romans, all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Count yourselves, therefore, as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. So Steph and Dennis have recorded a short testimony, which we're going to watch before each of them. And so we're going to start with Steph. So let's look to the screen to see Steph's testimony.
So my journey with Jesus started about 6 months ago now. I don't come from a Christian family. I've never grown up in the church, so everything was very sort of alien to me at first, but it actually happened when I was travelling Asia with my friends after I lived in Australia for 2 years. So I wasn't really looking for anything. It was very much sort of God found me and wanted to reveal himself to me, which was amazing, and I still can't believe it. It's pretty cool. But basically it happened with me and my best friend Amanda when we were in Vietnam, and we basically had all of these crazy signs and a lot of feelings that I had in my stomach leading up to that moment. When I look back now, and I obviously know that that was God talking to me and sort of giving me the nudges, and when we both sort of came to the conclusion that it was God talking to us, the feeling, like I can't even describe the feeling, but it was almost like this sheet had been lifted from my eyes, and we both looked at each other and we both said, God is real, it's God, like he's speaking to me. And I just knew in that moment that God was real. Everything I'd ever worried about in my life sort of just disappeared, and it was like he's real and he loves me so much, and I could just feel his love just all around me. It was this euphoric feeling, and I knew in that moment that I was just never going to be the same. And that story in itself, that big crazy testimony that happened to me in itself, is not what I think stands out to me the most. It's sort of the journey that I've had afterwards, getting closer to God and really spending time with him and his word, and just literally being drawn to come to church. So this happened to me on a Thursday, and 2 days later I got the flight home back to Bristol. So then I got home on the Sunday, I came to church and I met with Jackie, and I told her my story and I said, does this make sense? And she was like, yes, it does, like saying that I'd sound like someone who's known Jesus my whole life. And it really did feel like that. It didn't feel like alien to me. I knew exactly what it was. It was like, oh, it's God. I knew what it was. And ever since then, it's just, I just can't get away from it. And I just know all the time that God is there with me all the way. I read the Bible like every day now. I go to the community. I've just completely thrown myself into the church, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And it's completely transformed my life. And I think that I want people to hear my story, because it's a complete transformation story. Like, I am a completely different person now than I was 6 months ago. And I know these are changes not coming from within me, so like it must be God, but he's amazing. And yeah, that's my story.
Fantastic, awesome, well done. So we're going to get into the pool. Steph's story, there's so much more even to that that one story of meeting Jesus. And we're going to get Steph to try and write it down or film it at some point. It could have taken hours to tell that story. So look out for that coming up as well, because it'd be great to read that. Elias, I'm going to get you to hold the mic for me.
We're going to get in. Make sure you can see everybody. So if you want to come, if you're at the back and you want to move a bit further forward.
Stephanie Jackson, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to sign Steph with the sign of the cross. And as we do that, just be listening to God. If he's got a word, and we'll just have a few minutes, or even a minute. If you've got anything straight away, shout it out for us, or write it down on a card at the back and give it to Steph later. So, Stephanie, Jesus claims you as his own. Receive the sign of the cross. There should be words for all to say together. So saying together, do not be ashamed to confess the faith of Jesus Christ crucified. May Almighty God deliver you from the powers of darkness and lead you in the light and obedience of Jesus Christ. May you faithfully serve him, resisting sin, the world and the devil, and the end of your life. So let's just wait and just ask God if there's any particular words that he wants to speak right now.
When I was praying for Steph the other day, I just had this picture of God crowning you with a crown, Steph, because he is the king of all kings. And he was crowning you with, it was like a multicolored crown, because you're courageous, you're vibrant, you know, you hold so much color in your life. And it's like God is crowning you as his daughter, precious in his sight, his daughter, the king of kings.
So if you've got any other words, do write them down and give them to Steph at the end. Let's give her another round of applause. We're going to watch Dennis's.
My name's Dennis, and I was christened as a child, but I never felt like it was personally my decision, because I was a baby and such. But I've been going to Christchurch since I was 8 years old, but until 2 years ago, I never truly believed in God. Like, I heard everything people said, and I knew God existed, but I didn't really feel it in my soul, and I guess I just wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit at the time. But 2 years ago, that all changed. I went to a Christian youth festival named Soul Survivor, and I saw so many wonderful things that the Lord did for us. I saw people pray and tell people about things that they wouldn't know themselves, but God told them, and I saw people just be filled to the brim with the Spirit, just laughing and falling down and crying and all, just amazing things. And since then, I've been my faith has just increased tenfold every day, and I've started I've received gifts of prophecy from God. I've listened to him, I've loved him, I've worshipped him, and now I feel like I truly am ready to be baptized. I feel like baptism is a gesture and a symbolic thing, kind of me declaring, hey, I love God and I believe in him and I'm fully devout to him. And yeah, that's why I want to be baptized. It's just wonderful.
So Denis Lenvienko, you have confirmed the promises made on your behalf for your own baptism, have come to a living faith in Jesus Christ. As a sign of your dying to your old self, I cover you with these waters. Rise to new life for him. So again, there should be some words to come up on the screen. Denis, Jesus claims you for his own. Receive the sign of the cross. Do not be ashamed to confess the faith of Jesus Christ crucified. May Almighty God deliver you from the powers of darkness and lead you in the light and obedience of Jesus Christ. May you faithfully serve him, resisting the world and the devil to the end of your life. Amen. And let's again just wait for a minute just to listen and shout out if you have anything. Words or pictures then, or any scriptures, do write them down and give them to Denis at the end. So let's just finish off this time. So will you, who witnessed these vows, get them both looking at us, do all in your power to support Steph and Denis in their life in Christ.
We will.
Let's welcome them as we say together. Steph and Denis, we rejoice with you. We will pray with you. We will hold you in our love and walk with you in the way of God's light and truth. We welcome you. Let's give them one more round of applause. My pleasure.
I don't think I could ever tire of seeing this. It's just wonderful. Fantastic. And one thing I just want to say before we move on, that as well as Kathy Brody, we've got another former member of the team here who is often with us from time to time, heads up Bristol Schools Connection, and was our children's worker here. And I know that she had a great deal to do with caring for you, Denis, when you were younger in our church. It's Janie J. Jane, stand up so we can welcome you and say thank you. Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Now, we mentioned earlier the Eastern Orthodox Church, and we've got people from Roman Catholic Church and all sorts of denominations. All denominations have a tradition on Baptism Day of just reminding the church family of their own baptism. So, Neil's going to move his notes. We don't baptize pieces of paper. But anyway, just receive this water. Children, would you like some? Oh, there we go. Fantastic. And you like some over there? Wonderful. We even sprinkled children of Chelsea fans. Here we go. There we go. That's great. So if you didn't get any, do come forward and I'll happily sprinkle you in a moment. But it's now time to just pray for our children and our young people who are about to go to their groups, some slightly damper than others. But let's pray for them. Father, we thank you for the privilege of witnessing what we've just seen. We thank you that in Denis and Steph, we see a journey of two of your children with you. We also are your children, and we ask for similar faith and courage to speak out for you and to live our lives, not just for you, but in the service of others. Bless our children and young people in their groups now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So as our children and young people go to their groups, we're going to stand again. Those who remain here, we're going to lift our voices to praise God once more.
Okay, if you're staying in here and you're with us, then let's stand to our feet. We're gonna spend the next little while worshiping together.
Do please take your seats again. If you've been with us over recent weeks, you'll know that we've been inviting members of the church family to send in testimonies from this year of growth. Some did so on recordings, and some did so in writing. And we've had just under 100 testimonies from within the church family to sift through. So apologies, we can't show them all. We have pinned up some of them on the ribbons out in the foyer, and you can have a look at those over coffee at the end. What we're going to do is just begin with some of the video ones that have been sent in, and then we're going to go through just a few of them in person, and Neil and I will be leading that. So let's watch those that are on the screens.
You don't know me, but my name's Si. I'm just the O'Hare delivery guy, but it seems like trees might be worth a try. So I say, let it grow.
I feel much more confident that God loves and accepts me because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection.
So we suppose we should let it grow.
Year of growth for me, the headline is my coming to faith.
Let's celebrate the world's getting right. We say let it grow.
My name's Marie, and I.
Which is quite a big headline for me. Anyway, after many, many years of deep, deep cynicism. For that, God, I'm most grateful. The upshot of that has been finding a new home group. Many interesting conversations. Improved relationships with my family and friends. Setting up my new business here at the Lighthouse. Which was the primary directive from God, actually. And I'm most grateful for that. So thank you, Lord, for a big year of growth for me.
Let it go, let it go, let it go.
Simon Ponsonby tells the lovely story of a young man who goes to see his vicar and says to him that although he feels called to ordination, he doesn't feel he will set the Thames on fire. The vicar turns to him and says, "Yes, but if I put you in it, will you sizzle?" In this season, I have discovered that we have an amazing and wonderful God who will equip us to do the work that he has called us to, and have discovered that I may sizzle, as I have been recommended for ordination and start at Trinity in September.
Great. So there's more. There is more. I've got one more to read. Someone who sent one in who wanted to remain anonymous, but would like us to read this one out. And then we've got a few more to share. People are going to share them individually. So if you know you're one of them, why don't you start coming up towards the front as well? That would be great. But let me just read this one. There is something extremely powerful happening in Christchurch. In each Sunday, 10 truth flows out from the sermons and worship. Often the sermon feels tailor-made for a current issue or challenge. Messages are so strong and clear, and the reassurance of God's love, forgiveness, and guidance is something I cherish in my everyday life. There has been one particular impact from this year of growth, which is so massive and wonderful that I want it to be known. Yet it relates to something so deep and personal that I couldn't dare to explain it. But it has liberated me in a way that I never thought possible. The relief and joy and peace that has come through this liberation is a miracle. The sermon that reminds us of the lady who dared to touch Jesus' cloak. So that was from Nicola's testimony slot. Jesus' cloak. And believed she'd be healed was the moment I believed too I could be healed. You couldn't see it and wouldn't know what I needed to be healed from. Traumatic experiences from years ago can be buried and hidden. But like a festering thorn, touch it and the pain will remind you it is still with you. I have thought for many years that I would never be normal again, that my marriage would surely be doomed if I couldn't get over my past. It was a poison in my life that seeped invisibly into my family's life too. The stress and sadness, endless years of suffering in silence, until that Sunday 10, when I was healed, when I dared to reach out and touch Jesus and receive his healing. I am so grateful to everyone in Christchurch, from the Ruthie and the children's team to the musicians and everyone involved. All of you have played a part in healing me, even though you have no idea of it. Thank you to everyone. Yes, cheers.
So now I'm going to hear from Jeff.
Thank you. 11 years ago, I was very fit and active and involved in many Christian and other activities. I was quite proud that I was fitter than most for my age. Then I developed heart failure and my health deteriorated progressively, and I've since lost most of the things which I used to do and which I would have said defined me. From 1 hour cycling 3 times every week in all weathers, for 20 years after I retired, I now get out of breath and exhausted just walking across a room. But this isn't about my health. Indeed, when I feel sad and wistful for the things that I've lost, then I just thank God for the wonderful life that I've had and for all the things that I've experienced, which so many people haven't. Why did God allow this if he loves me? It says in Proverbs 3, those he loves, he disciplines. So I believe it's actually because he loves me and because he wants me to use me more and to bring his love to others. And I just want to say what I've learned through this. Firstly, God is infinite love. He loves each of the 7 billion people he's made with the same infinite love. If I read John 17 correctly, it's the same love that he has for Jesus. His love means that he wants the very best for me, but not necessarily in this life. He's so much more for us than just to give us a happy time. He wants us to be more fruitful now, more reliant on him, and more prepared to spend our next real life with him. Secondly, I've learned that God really is in control. It's probably the most difficult thing for any Christian to really believe, particularly when we see all the evil in the world and in the face of tragedy. But this seems to be the repeated message of the Bible. I realise many won't disagree with it, and indeed I have times when I find it very difficult to see how God can be in control. But what I have found is that when I really believe in his infinite love for me, that he only wants the very best for me, and I really believe that he's in control of my life, then in theory, what have I got to worry about? Although I'm now so restricted in what I can do, my prayer is still that God would just give me opportunities to continue to be a channel for his love to others. I'd just like to share part of a quotation I recently found from 1648 from somebody called Jeremiah Burrough and his book, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. And it seems to reflect what I'm learning. That quiet frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. The fruit of the Spirit is peace.
Amen. Awesome. Abby now is ready to come up. Great. So this is Abby and Errol, and they're going to share something of what their journey has been this year.
Thanks, Neil. Morning, everyone. Yeah, Abby and I, we lead a small community group. We meet every week, and we've been doing this so for probably just over a year or so, and we've just got an amazing small group who we love very much. And we've just, part of what we do each week is we rotate between sort of worship, Bible study, socials, and a bit of outreach as well. So next week, for example, we're going to go out and do some litter picking, which anyone here, if you'd like to come and join us, please feel free to just have a chat with us at the end. But what we've really seen happen is just our community just grow so much deeper in intimacy and a level of just kind of knowing each other. And it seems to have happened almost just very naturally. And we just really thank God for that. And we're basically just the whole thing about doing life together is something that we could really kind of testify about, that God is moving in us, and we're just really blessed by that. So, yeah.
So we were talking in our talk about in this series about creating environments of growth and that community aspect of series of growth. But how's the teaching kind of led into that as well?
Yeah, feedback from myself and from some of the group, and we've reflected on it a couple of times over the last few months, is a message that Andrew brought a couple of months ago. And he talked about sometimes if you're feeling like angry or you feel like something's just going on inside you that you don't think is from God, just take a minute and just ask God, why am I distant from you? What's going on? And a lot of us have actually been using that over the last few months and just taking that time, and things have changed because of that. So yeah, we're really grateful for that message.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
So this is Chris. Might as well stand here. Just turn and face the...
Okay, thank you. I was in France, in the Auvergne in May, a very remote part of France. And I was in a little church, and I noticed a full-size plaster statue of Jesus. And instead of blessing, he was holding out his hand as though to say, take hold of mine. And I thought, if that was really Jesus, could I go forward, take his hand? Could I look him in the eye? I'm still working on that. Anyway, I held the hand. It was grubby, where people had done it before, and it was cold. It meant nothing. But the next morning I woke up and I remembered that, and I put out my hand as though into the hand of the living Jesus, and I felt, you know, that was great, and I've done that every morning since. But the reason I'm here now is that at the June prayer meeting, 2 weeks later, we were having a time of quiet for God to speak to us, and I saw that grubby hand on the statue, and I thought, what an amazing visual aid that is. Every day, we can put out our hand into the hand that was nailed to the cross for us, and we leave our dirt behind.
Great. So this is Gloria, and she has got a testimony about how, again, that environment of thriving that we've talked about and how that's worked out in her life.
Hi. Everyone that knows me knows it's going to be difficult to keep it very short. yeah, home group means such a lot to me because I come from I have a loving, a caring family, but sadly they're not Christians yet. And so home group is a place of refuge for me. It's quite a lonely place to be sometimes at home when you can't talk about something you've just read or something that really is quite profound and it means so much to you. So home group is a great place to share those feelings. And also, I think it's just, we've been together at our home for about 2.5 years now. And the more we get to know each other, the more we kind of confide more and more. And knowing that confidence that kind of it's going to stay in the house group, things that you say, you trust them so much that you can say about anything you like, your feelings, and, you know, talk about the Bible. So it's an integral part of my church family for me. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Awesome. Abby, join us.
What Gloria's just been talking about is one of the key themes for this year. We believe as a church that God wants us to thrive. He wants everybody to thrive. And to do that, we partner with him, as it were. We agree with him by placing ourselves in environments like small community where we can thrive. And Abby just wants to share a little bit also about setting herself in an environment to thrive.
So I guess my year of growth has really been about learning to find God in the day-to-day, because I think growing up, he's always just kind of been very aloof and very distant, and just someone that if it was a really bad day, then that was when I'd kind of turn to him if I had no other option almost. But I think this year, some support networks that I have previously relied on have like gone, and then it just left a space in which I went, oh, this is where I need God. And I started to turn to him day to day. And we had one like group in church when we were praying, and then one girl said that she saw an image of like a driving like a driving test where you have like the hazard perception kind of thing, and she was like, I feel like God saying like he's gonna point out the hazards in your life and like he is guiding you. And that really, really spoke to me at the time, and I had a sense of like a compass kind of like guiding me. So I now really feel like actually God has really got my back, and there's a long way to go and a bigger journey, I guess, still ahead, but I know that he is with me and he has got my back. And I also, on the way here, actually, I just kind of popped into my head that, the scene in The Railway Children where the father comes on the back, I don't know whether people know that, but when the father comes off the train and everyone knows, like everyone's pointing and telling the older daughter, like, oh, he's on his way, he's coming. And that kind of popped into my head this morning, and that really kind of felt like that's how it has been. It's been a lot of people on a journey going, oh, look, like he's coming. And then suddenly this year it's been like, oh, now I've found him. So, yeah.
And one final one from Catherine. And this is really about healing and God at work in you.
Thanks. So this really started more than a year ago, but has really come to fruition in the last year. My brother died very suddenly, and I completely shut God out of my life after that. I reacted really angrily, and even though I was still coming to church, I couldn't really participate. I couldn't participate in worship. And I was getting increasingly irritable and angry at work and at home, and it was generally not going very well. And this went on for over a year, and I was kind of heading for disaster, really, a bit of a breakdown. But then when Daniel's Windows was introduced, one of the times of day that was suggested was 7 o'clock in the morning, which was when I was walking to work, and I hadn't been able to listen to any worship music for a year, more than a year, because it was just too painful. But I made the decision to listen to music on my way into work on the Monday morning, and I had a good day. Like, for the first time in a year, I had a good day where I didn't lose my temper, and I didn't, I wasn't irritable, I didn't snap at anyone, and I kind of put it down to coincidence. But I listened to music the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and I had a good week, a full good week, which was amazing in itself. But then I had three distinct words from God that week, two of which were from non-Christians. And I just really felt like God was saying, I'm still here, you know. Just because you shut me out, I'm not going to go away. And so I kind of made the choice to let God back into my life. And I got a real sense of healing from that. And the blessings that I've had since then are just multiplying, really, exponentially.
Thank you.
As always with gatherings like this, I know time is running on. I just very briefly want to say, for those who may not know, Daniel's Windows. Managing prayer in a church of our size is complicated. So one of the ideas we had was to copy Daniel, the Old Testament prophet, who three times a day would pray. And so we just invite members of the church family either at 7 a.m. or 12 noon or 7 p.m. To take the passage of scripture that we send out every week by email and to meditate on that and to pray, so that you know if you pray at those times, you'll be praying with other members of the church family. So you haven't quite got into that yet. Do have a word with one of us at the end. So I now want to hand over to two people, Chris and Andrew, who've done quite a bit of the teaching through this Year of Growth series. Chris really, in many ways, received much of the shape and the form of the year. And so they're just going to come and give a very brief review before we begin to draw to a close. Let's hear it for Chris and for Andrew.
Did you catch Paul's very brief there? He said... A very brief. Did you hear that?
I heard it.
Great. Just.
Which side are you going on? Are you wondering or?
I don't really know what I'm doing.
Okay.
I'm worried about slipping on the water, so I'm not going to do that. Hello. My name's Chris. If we've never met before, it's really wonderful to see you this morning. And we're here just to give you a very brief snapshot, really, into what the year's been like. And to remind you of some of the things that we've talked about, which are also included in the stories that we've heard, and loads of the stories as well that are in the church family that we won't have heard this morning, that we've received. And there's, if you look to the windows just where Mark sat there's a load of strung up cards, which are also testimonies that people have written. And so please go and look at those at some point today or over the next few weeks. It struck me as I've been sat here how faith is like it's a long term thing, isn't it? It's a long term thing. I remember when we arrived 6 years ago, and Jane will remember as well. But you know, Dennis, who just got baptized, I don't know where he's gone. Is he just he's disappeared? He got baptized, you know, 6 years ago when we arrived. He was just this, you know, crazy kid running around and kicking stuff and people, and it was, you know, but God has been working it out in his life. And he's like here now, being baptized six years later for me, and I don't know how many years for you, Jane, like 10 years maybe? 10 years. It's a long-term thing. I just wanted to say to you this morning, one of the things I want to say to you, that just don't give up. Don't give up on the things that God wants to do in the long term, just because the short term isn't how you want it to be. Does that make sense? It's a long-term thing. So I remember the first message that I gave in this Year of Growth back in September, and it was all about responsibility, and we heard a bit about responsibility. And I told you a story about my journey into the swimming pool. Do you remember that story if you were here? Yeah, it's the thing, you know, I think people forget most of what I say, but that thing, people have talked to me the most about my swimming than anything else I've ever been asked about, literally. How's your swimming going, Chris? Anyway, it's going really well, thanks. And I've really grown in my year of swimming. Esther Brown bought me a card. She saw a card in the in Oxfam, and you won't be able to see it properly, but it's just it's a picture of a swimming pool, which has it says fast lane, slow lane, and general bewilderment lane. And I'm pleased to tell you I've moved out of the general bewilderment lane, and now doing quite well. But in that message, what we said, and this really set up the whole year. What we said was that it's God's responsibility to grow things. It's our responsibility to create an environment in which growth is possible. That was the first thing we said the whole year, and that really has set up the environment for the whole year. God has done the growing. And we've tried to create an environment for which growth is possible. We talked in that series as well a bit about dependency and, you know, where do we hang the weight of our lives? What do we place the weight of our life upon? Is our life built on strength and good foundation, or is it on shaky stuff? And Andrew, you made up a word in that series, I think. You said something called, was it leadability?
Leadability, yeah. What's it's caught on. I'd forgotten it, but thank you.
Yeah.
Leadability.
Like who we led by. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that was all about language that set up our year. Responsibility, dependency, leadability. That was about an environment thing. And then we went on to talk about the nature of the Father, fathering and forgiveness. And we talked about the fierce, passionate love of a good father. Paul talked to us about that. Do you know the fierce passion of a good father in heaven? It's an amazing revelation that when you know that your Father in heaven is fiercely passionate about you. And we talked about the power of your forgiveness and the choice of your forgiveness. Like you have a choice in your life whether you give forgiveness to people or whether you withhold forgiveness from people. And that's your choice. But forgiveness is so, so powerful. And then Paul also talked in that series about how you relate to the Father. Do you relate to him as a son? As in the story in Luke 15, do you relate to him as a hired servant, someone who just work for God, you do a great job at working for God, but you don't have the relational element to the Father like the Son does? Or do you connect with God like a slave? You know? And the challenge in that we are all sons and daughters of a fiercely passionate Father in heaven who loves you unconditionally. So we talked about that as well. And then in January, we talked about thriving.
Yeah, so we moved on to a series called Setting Yourself Up to Thrive. And it bounced off the back of a lot of we've been teaching already, which was that primarily God wants us to thrive. That he wants us all to flourish because he's for us. That he likes us. That he wants us to succeed. And so we looked at how do we set our lives up in a way that enables him to carry out his desire for us, which is for us to thrive. And the main thing that we looked at really was the importance of time. That so often we become slaves to our diaries and our calendars, to the hours of our day, to our working week, that we just think we have no time, there's nothing we can do. And the reality is there's always something you can do. But how important is it for you to do something? But that if we want to thrive, we need to thrive in God, and we cannot explore him and be with him and enjoy him without spending time with him. Time not just in your calendar, but internally where there's space, where there's quietness, where there's not a rush, but where you just get to slow down and say, God, here's time. So that was really the whole series. We looked at a few different things, but hey, let's not teach you everything again because we'll be here till Tuesday, which be boring for us. So, and then we moved on to a series all about sin and salvation, and we basically tried to help us to see how perhaps we might have had a wrong understanding of what sin is. That we often can think that sin is just a bad list of things that God says we should never do. If you do this thing, you're very naughty, and that's a sin. But actually, sin is not about doing wrong things. Sin is actually primarily an internal distance between us and God. Sin doesn't start with the action, it finishes with the action. It starts with a distance internally. If we look back to the garden with Adam and Eve, we see that really that there was a growing distance between them and God, which gave the serpent the space to whisper in their ear. If they weren't distant from God, then the serpent would never have been able to lie to them. And so we then thought, how does that translate and affect how we interact with God? And that's why we talked about looking at our internal distance. When we have a reaction, as Abby was saying, and we have a moment where something spills out, how do we take the opportunity to go, instead of just trying to control our actions, trying to manage our behavior, how do we actually, as Abby was saying, take a moment and go, God, what's going on? Where's my internal distance that led to that behavior? So that was sin and salvation.
Brilliant. So we moved on into identity and a whole thing. I think we had 6 weeks, was it 6 weeks? Talking about identity. A lot of that was around choice. Again, like, are you going to choose to believe the things that God says about you? Or are you going to choose to believe the things that everyone else says about you? You know, where are you going to place the weight of your life? Where's the power of your choice? And that was a massive part of that. And then the other thing we talked about quite a bit in the identity series, something I talked about was do you place the emphasis of your life on the outside or the inside? Because the Bible talks to us about the fact that God's value is on our heart, it's on our inside. And so easy to lose heart in life. We lose heart so quickly. And the thing is that when we lose heart, we lose God's value system, because we lose the fact that his value is on our inside, when actually a lot of us are so concerned about what's happening on the outside. Identity is a lot about what we believe about ourselves on the inside. After we talked about identity, we had, I think it might have been even my favorite thing of the whole year, just where we were able to stop for 6 weeks our normal stuff, and we did a series called Bearing Fruit in Every Season, where we had interview style sessions, and we had a whole range of different people come and share. We had Derek and Sue Haddon, who were around somewhere, I've seen them, yeah. We had Chris and Esther Brown, who just sat here. We had Malcolm Bourne, and we had Rebecca and Julia Lovelace. We had Nicola Healy. We had Lucy and Reuben, Dalton Gibson, who were part of our church family. Did I miss anyone out? No, that's everyone. And they just sharing stories of life. How has fruit been possible in their life? And how has that overflowed in the way that they've lived their lives? And how has God, how have they created an environment in which that fruit has been possible? And I've just found those stories so powerful, and so I've had people come up to me over the weeks that have followed, just saying, you know, those things that were said in some of those stories were just exactly what I needed to hear, or they just connected so perfectly with me. That was really, really, really amazing. And then finally, we just had 3 weeks on
overflow. Living life from the overflow. Yeah. Yeah, that's where we landed. Basically, trying to help connect all of the internal work that we've done. You're in people's way there.
Sorry.
It's hard. Otherwise, I think your head is talking, and that's from the back. It should be. I actually think it's a little bit wet there. I've realized
that. I'm going to walk backwards back to the...
So the final series was trying to collect how what God's been doing on our inside, how we allow it to appear in our behavior, actions, and our day-to-day life. And we talked quite a lot about transparency, how God invites us to just share open and honestly with those around us, to not try and dress God up or dress him down as we share with other people around us, but just to be honest, to not try and present something sparkly and perfect, but just to present the truth of what's going on in our life and in our faith journey. And Paul did a brilliant session, and I really recommend listening to it on that final Sunday, really looking at how Jesus talks a few times about the yeast, and he talks about it positively and negatively. Jesus does, and he says that the kingdom of God, it's just a little thing that makes a big difference, or the yeast of the Pharisees, a little thing of religion can make a big difference. And it's about that internal, a little thing that happens inside of us, that God multiplies it. He takes what we offer him from our internal, that transparent offering, and he multiplies it. And so we were basically encouraging ourselves as we land to take everything that's gone on inside and just be honest with those around us, regardless of who they are, and take the opportunity to just share with people around you.
Yeah, amazing. So, you know, there's been eight series, different series of teaching. There's been, I tried to count them up online the other night. There's been like 43 or something different people, different messages throughout the year. And that's all great, but it sort of only really matters. It only really counts if life looks a bit different afterwards, isn't it? And so those things are going to, that they're on there, they're online, they're on the website, all the resources are there, they're going to stay up there. You can connect with it whenever you want. But what we're going to do now, and this is something that we felt as a team that we wanted to mark our year with by doing this, is we're going to, I don't know what you called it, Paul. Is it what did you call it?
I call it a cairn.
A cairn. Great, I didn't know what that was. A pile of stones. We're going to build a pile of stones, which we're going to call an Ebenezer. And there's this bit in 1 Samuel where the Israelites have been battling the Philistines, and God wins Israel an amazing victory against the Philistines. And Samuel, who's the prophet to the nation, he's their leader, and he basically picks up a stone, and he builds this thing as a marker point of the journey. And it says in Samuel, what does it say? Thus far the Lord has helped us, is what Samuel says. He marks it with this stone. He says, thus far the Lord has helped us. And what we want to be careful not to do is just very neatly wrap up this year and go, we tie it up in a bow and we kind of present it and go, okay, there it is. It's on the floor and it's packaged up very neatly. We don't want to do that because life's not like that. We want to be able to mark it and say, thus far the Lord has helped us. You know, we're marking it, but we're believing that so much more is going to be going on over the next few weeks, months, and years. So that's what we're going to do. Are you going to explain that? Neil's going to explain that, and then we're going to worship and do that.
Fantastic. So this is where it gets a bit messy, but it's not water mess. So we're going to try and build our Ebenezer in here. But around, currently at the front, is buckets of rocks. We're going to take two, and we're going to put them in the back corners as well so you can get to them easily. And what we'd love you to do is to grab a rock. The kids are doing it as well. The youth are doing it. So in a few minutes, we're going to get parents to go and get their children, and then we'll start to build this Ebenezer together. But we're just going to take a moment, and in the midst of worship, to come and get a rock and to write on that, draw on it, whatever you want to do that helps you to mark out where is it that you want God to continue to be working in your life. It might be one of the areas that we've just talked about. It may be a particular issue that God has just begun to work in, and you just say, I just want to keep committing to this. And in the midst of worship, we're going to start building, remembering that an Ebenezer is marking the way of where we've been, but it's as we continue on as well. It's not a stopping point, it's a way marker. Okay, so there will be rocks, as I said. There's two buckets at the front, there'll be two at the back. You're going to have to move and get up. There are felt tips. Don't worry if you feel like you can't really read it. This is you and God. We're not going to sit and unpick it all and then read every single thing. This is just for you and God to do what it is that you want to do. So we'll take two to the back, and the band will just continue to lead in worship. So if you want to stay in worship and do that for a bit, and in just a few minutes, we'll get you to go and get your children if you have them, and then we'll start to build that together. Let me just pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for all of the stories that we've heard. Thank you for the stories that we haven't heard, but you have been at work in our lives. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come and inspire us and lead us and remind us of what it is that you have been doing and what it is that you want to do. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and fill this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. So start to move. Come and grab a rock. There's felt tips there as well.
Everybody is going to be in the shot. It's wonderful. We've got Steph and Dennis right at the front, and we're around the Ebenezer or the Cairn. So when I raise my left hand, just looking straight as you are, right hand, looking around, left hand again, go wild.
Not the wild one. Just looking at someone.
Okay. I think now's going to be the challenge. I don't know whether you can... Can most of you see the screen that is on this pillar? Okay. That's where the words are going to be. And this will conclude our time together. Again, your words are in white. And this normally concludes the actual baptism. But today, it felt appropriate to save it to the very end. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers?
We will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
We will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Jesus Christ?
We will, with God's help.
Will you seek to serve Christ in the world, loving your neighbor as yourself? And may the Lord Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit pour upon each one of us, in our hearts, our minds, and our homes, his richest blessing to grace us to do these things that we have promised today. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the bad news for all of you is that I'm nearest the pastries. See who's going to win. Actually, pastries will be brought to you.
So do stay around, grab tea and coffee. Pastries will be brought round. Don't dash off. If you haven't put your rock in, then do add it.